Good morning once again and shalom. I want to invite us into the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 1 all the way to 10. And we want to focus on understanding the doctrine of false prophets and false prophecy, but in terms of their conduct, in terms of their condemnation, and in terms of their character. False teachers are an unwanted, or they are rejects, or they are a byproduct of God processing of his leaders. We want to turn into this part of actually understanding who are false prophets. What is false prophecy? I've said they are a byproduct of the processes that God makes of his leaders. We have also discovered that we can compare the processing of the leaders or God's teachers to what goes on in the factory. Let's take an example of a paper. And we said a paper comes from a tree. But for a paper, for a tree to become a paper, it goes on through a process, a factory process, a transformative process, a change process, that when you look at a paper, you cannot think it was a tree. But when a tree is taken to the factory to be processed to be paper, three products can come out of that processing. The first one, as we know from the factory, is called the first class goods. First class goods. This is when the tree has been taken there and the process has begun, and the material that comes out is quite as it was expected, both in quality, both in quantity, both in measurement, both in color. You know, what you expected when it comes out just as it was, we call it first class. First class. Number two, we have got second class. Second class is when some of the things that you wanted do not come exactly as you were. There are some areas that looks good, but some areas looks bad. But you cannot tell the difference so much about the first class and second class. It's only sometimes when you look at the quality, you discover it's not in the quality as I wanted. Sometimes when you look at the length or the measurement, you discover, oh, the measurement is not. If it was maybe a paper with a ruled paper, you discover that sometimes those papers or those lines are not, you know, in the same length. Some of the lines maybe are crossing. It was a book that you wanted to write, and you discover that some lines are crossing. Some are big, some are small. So that's second. But we have got the last product we call the reject. The reject is what comes out that is little bad. It's cut off. It's small. It's not even in the quality as you are looking for. And so at that particular juncture, rejects, they do not, they are, many times they're not even used for the purpose it was supposed to be. Now, when it comes to God's people, God takes every one of us through a process. He transforms his leaders. God is looking for men who can stand at the door, who can stand at the gap, or who can become the wall themselves, who can build the wall, or can become the wall themselves. But there are times that when God possesses us, some of us do not even go and become what God wanted. And so we discover that when God has finished processing us and we comes out as he wanted, according to the scripture, we can call that as a pastor. This is my example as a pastor. All that's the first class, pastor. When some of us do not come exactly as God wanted, that we become apostate. Apostate only takes us to where we, you know, we were going, but apostate does not go where it claims to go. Now, that is a person who directs others, who benefits others, and others may get there, but these people do not ever go there. Those leaders, sometimes they ask people to pray, but they don't pray. They ask people to give, but they don't give. They tell people not to do the, not to marry many wives, or not to be married by many husbands, but they do themselves. They are actually hypocrites. But now, level three of those who are now the false teachers also, or the high-level false teachers, they are called imposters. This one, they do not benefit the kingdom. They do not benefit themselves. They do not benefit even the followers, because they do not have the word of God, or they bend the word of God on purpose. They know what the word of God says, but they are using it for their own benefits. And so this is what we want to learn here. And we look at their character, we look at their condemnation, and we look at the conduct. Look at what Peter says here, chapter 2. But there were also false teachers. He had talked about the prophecy. And he said the prophecy do not come from the prophet himself or herself. It comes from God. It was the Holy Spirit even writing or speaking or inspiring the one who wrote about it. Then he says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers amongst us. Compare then and now. They're there. They've been there. So false prophets are there. And they will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. Now, I want you to see that a few points about false prophets. And one of the things that I want you to see is that they are universal. They are universal. They were there then in Israel. They will be there today. They are universal. Number two about these is that they are cleverly teach destructive heresy. Now, it is not an accident. False prophecy and false teachers are not accidents. They are intentional. They are calculated. They know what they are doing. Every false teacher, they have mastered the art. So they are cleverly teach destructive heresy. They know they're doing it. They will not. I know there are those who will find themselves speaking because they did not know. Now, that is not really false prophets. We only call heresies, but some of the people just teach because they do not know. I'm not talking about those who are baptizing or who are using wrong baptism because they do not know. Although lack of knowledge is not a guarantee from the law. But I'm talking about those who calculate and cleverly teach destructive heresy, and they are actually denying the master. Or number three, false prophets also, they teach against, they deny the master, Jesus Christ, who bought them. They deny the suffering of Jesus. They deny the resurrection of Jesus. They deny the reigning and the ascension of Jesus. And they deny the soon coming of Jesus. And in this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Number four about those false prophets is that they will bring sudden destruction. They will pay for it. You cannot misrepresent God. You cannot misrepresent Jesus and fail not to pay for it. Then they say, many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. The other thing about these people is they are immoral. Immoral means that they make wrong decision. Immoral means that they do not follow, they preach wine, they drink water, or they drink water, they preach wine. But many people, many not few, will follow their evil teachings. That's the bad part of it, that if we allow the false teachers and the false prophets to go on, many will be able to follow their teaching and their shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of the truth will be slandered. If we do not continue to, this is why we have to populate the air or the airwave with the truth about Jesus Christ. Because there's a lot of false teaching today, we must also intentionally populate the airwave with the truth so that the truth can counter the false teaching. Because if you do not do that, many people will be able to follow it, and the way of the cross, the way of the Jesus will be slandered. Number three, this says, in their greed, you see, we have talked about the immorality, now we come to their greed. In their greed, they'll make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. Now, Peter is now talking about that all at the bottom of all the false teachers is greed about money. They need to get hold of your money. Whatever teaching they bring, they want to, you know, to trick it. They want to make up clever lies. They are lies, but they make it up. But all what they want to do is actually get money, and you have got many of them. For God did not spare. Now the Bible says that number four is that five is that God, the King, will not spare them, and their destruction will not be delayed. Then he gave an example of how this condemnation looked like. After giving that as their, now that's the character. That's the character. He now gives their condemnation. For God did not spare even the angels who sinned. He threw them into hell in gloomy pit of darkness, where they were being held until the day of judgment. So Peter says, let me tell you, if you want to know the truth and the genuinity of how God will condemn them, look at how God condemned the angels who sinned. That was in Genesis, before Genesis 6, when the sons of God slept with the daughters of men, and Nephilim's great men of stature came, and God had to finish them with water. But some of those angels, they are demons, they were locked into pits of darkness, and they are held to this very day because they're very stubborn. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah. Now, you see, now after they those angels were held, Peter also looked at how God was able to save Noah and his sons. And God did not spare the ancient world except for Noah and the seven others in his family. These are his sons and their daughters and their wives. Noah warned the world of God's righteous judgment. So God protected Noah when he destroyed the world of ungodly people with a vast flood. Later, God condemned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to the ungodly people. Now, Peter now gives the second example of condemnation and the characteristic of how God does it. After speaking about Noah, he now comes to speak about Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said how he condemned the city of Sodom and Gomorrah because of the immorality. We say that false teachers goes with immorality and greed. These two goes together. Every false teacher, every false prophet has got two qualities, immoral and greed. And pride, of course. These are the three sins. This talks about love of the lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, and pride of life. These three are the ones that actually forms the basis of a false teacher. That is the love of the world, as John calls it. So now he gives this example of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God turned and condemned this city and turned them into a heap of ashes. He made them as an example to what will happen to ungodly people. But on the other side, just as he rescued Noah, in the time of Noah, God rescued somebody here. Who is that Lot? But God also rescued Lot out of Sodom, because he was righteous. He was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around them. Lot was a righteous man who was tormented in his soul by the wickedness he saw and he heard day after day. So you see, God knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while keeping the wicked under punishment until the day of judgment. He is especially hard on those who follow their own twisted sexual desires, who despise authority. Now, that's what God is speaking, or what Peter is speaking about here, that God is able to punish the false teachers and is able to rescue even those who are righteous amongst them. These people, he talked about the despised authority, and these people are proud, arrogant. These are their characteristics, daring even to scoff at supernatural being without as much as trembling. So these are some of the few characteristics of false teachers, that they despise authorities. They have they twist the sexual desires. They twist the truth for the sexual desires. They despise authority. They are proud. They are arrogant. They dare and scoff supernatural and without even much troubling. Father, help us not to be able to follow the false teaching. Help us to be righteous by the blood of Jesus, even amongst the people we are living in Jesus' name.